Good to see you all here this morning. I'd like to especially welcome our visitors, as we have done already before, let you know you're honored guests. And as I usually mention, if you have any questions about what we do, why we do it, and we'd love for you to come with us to us with those questions. We'd love to study the scriptures with you, seeking to find everything we do in accordance with God's word, as Colossians the third chapter in verse 17 tells us. Getting into the lesson, I recall in my younger days, as we summer comes around and summer fun comes around, we used to have a tradition with my cousins. They'd come into town from South Texas and come up to Fort Worth, because we're closer to Arlington, and we'd go over to Six Flags. And we'd go to Six Flags and we'd ride all the rides and we'd have a fun time doing it, but there's always a portion of that time which we hated, and it's the waiting in line time. And there were certain rides we got to, and we were able to get on the ride as soon as we got to that ride. No waiting necessary. But the big rides, the new rides, the scary rides, the ones that everyone wants to experience in their time at Six Flags, there was always a long line. And it would zigzag and zigzag as if it would never end. And I remember signs in different sections of that line saying, "You've got 3 hours to wait. Now you got 2.5. Now you got 2. And I just hated that so much. What I hated even more is seeing those spoiled little kids running by with their fast passes. And they got to get right on the ride as soon as they got there. No waiting on anything. Every single ride they could think of, they would be able to get on that in less than 10 minutes, while here I'm waiting back for 3 hours. My parents would never spend that extra money to get me that fast pass. But in discussing that concept of waiting and how we as a society hate to do it, we have an instantaneous society where everything we want is at the tips of our fingers. Me and Brandon have smartphones, and we've talked about it before, about how short the attention span of an individual is in this day and age. And it's because everything is so fast. You get on that smartphone and here it is. And it's because we don't want to wait. And a lot of times we have to. But with spiritual things, there is no line that we have to wait in, except we do wait. And it's ironic that we hate to wait for other things in this world, and yet we'll act like we're sitting in line. We act like we can't have access to those spiritual things, when indeed they are right at our fingertips, and we neglect that so often in our lives. There are a few things I want to make mention of this morning. How we wait in line for something we don't have to wait in line for. Included in that is prayer and the spiritual blessings that we receive, as are described in Ephesians, the first chapter. A lot of times we wait in line to praise and worship God when we don't have to wait in line. We don't have to wait. We should be doing this continually and studying God's word. We don't have to wait to study God's word. There isn't a prescribed time that says we can only study God's word during this time. There are always availabilities to study His word at all times, and He expects us to do so. Firstly, in discussing prayer, we neglect our prayer life so often, and we go throughout this life recognizing that the way to heaven is not an easy one. It is a narrow and difficult path, and we reach our physical ailments and our spiritual downfalls, and we need a Savior to help us and aid us, and yet we do not ask for that help as often as we should. We neglect our prayer life. Our life is so filled with other things that we do not talk to the one that can actually help us. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we are describing here in Hebrews 4, the Hebrew writer is, this concept he's getting into of this high priesthood that Christ has, and the blessings we get from that, and why He is the great high priest. In verse 15 of Hebrews 4, he says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And so Jesus, as the Son of God, came and left His throne in heaven, did not count it robbery to be equal with God, in Philippians the second chapter. And He came down so that He could sympathize with our weaknesses. In the second chapter of Hebrews, it talks about how He took on flesh so that He could give aid to us. He didn't give aid to angels, He gives aid to us. That is His purpose. That is what He is doing for us. And so He can sympathize with us. But notice in verse 16, "Because of this, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we have may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We should be confident about this. We should not be timid in coming to God in prayer. We should not put it off. We should not act as if we're waiting in line and we're having to wait our turn, when in reality, we can come to Him in any time of need. And that encompasses our entire life. We always need Christ. We always need His sympathy. We always need His aid in our life in order to please God, in order to do the things that are befitting a Christian. And He is always at our fingertips in prayer. He is always available. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 14, John writes to these individuals and says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us, whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." He's here to listen to us. And He has no waiting game. He's playing with us. He expects us to come to Him in time of need. In James, the 1st chapter, James talks about going through these trials and how this works up this endurance in our lives. If we endure through these trials, we come through it with a newfound patience for our spiritual life. And in the 5th verse, he tells us that if any of you lacks something, if any of you lacks wisdom, and so there are going to be some times in our lives where we're trying to get through these things, but there's something missing. And the requirement of that, and that the way we get what we need, whatever is missing, is to ask of God, he says. If you lack something, ask of God. There's no waiting period there. If you lack it, ask for it. But notice, it says, "Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting." While we ask God for these necessities in life, physically and spiritually, we must come to Him with that confidence that He is going to provide for us if we are indeed obeying His word. But we have to ask Him. When we consider the nature of God and His omniscience that we've talked about this morning and last Sunday morning in the Bible class, we recognize that He knows what we need. He tells the individuals in Matthew, the 6th chapter, this: "After these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows you need these things." So why do we ask Him? When we ask Him, it shows our faith. And when we ask Him without that faith, and we are doubting that, it's kind of ironic that here is a way to show our faith and trust and confidence in Him, to approach Him boldly, and yet we're doubting while we're doing so. And He requires us to ask in faith. And that's why we do pray to Him. It shows our need and our dependence upon Him, and it shows that we have faith He will provide for us. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 17, the Apostle Paul simply writes, "Pray without ceasing." And we recognize that there is a prayerful attitude on the life of a Christian that is always needed, that should be constant in our lives. Daniel knelt down and prayed to God, as was his custom, even when they told him he would be thrown into the den of lions. And this is how important this prayer should be in our lives. It should be an endless thing. It should be an instantaneous moment. I need something. I'm weak in the faith. I'm weak in some way. What should I do? The first thing we should do is sit and pray to our God in heaven. And this is always at the tips of our fingers. We never have to wait for this. And so if you are waiting, there's no need to wait. Stop waiting in line for something you don't have to wait for. Getting on to our next point, in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, we recognize that we have some benefits in Christ. And in Ephesians, Paul is telling them about the church, and he's talking about the nature of the church and the benefits in the church, how these things work. And the first thing he starts off with are these things that we're blessed with, these things that a Christian has the opportunity to fulfill and have in his life. In the 3rd verse of Ephesians 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And he goes on to list some of those blessings. These blessings are not something we have to wait in line for. Titus, the 2nd chapter, in verse 11, Paul writes to Titus and says, "The grace of God that brings salvation, which is namely all those spiritual blessings, has appeared to all men." And so it's sitting there waiting for us, and we don't have to wait in line for it. In fact, as we become Christians and we put Him on in baptism and we name the name of Christ and we are obedient to His word, we receive those spiritual blessings instantaneously. There's no waiting period. There's no form that we have to fill out and go and present it to some individual and tell them that we've done the required things to do in order to receive these. There is no buffering period. It comes to us instantly. But we have to reach it. We have to come to it. We can't wait for it. In the third chapter, in verse 20 of the same epistle, Ephesians 3 and verse 20, we recognize the power that it takes to give us those spiritual blessings. Paul says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." He is not just able to do what we can think of in our minds. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Might seem redundant for him to say exceedingly abundantly, and he's making a point of emphasis that God is not limited by anything and that he can supply us with all our spiritual needs and physical needs. These things are not too hard for him to do. All we have to do is ask him for those things, as we talked about in the last point with regard to prayer. But these spiritual blessings are supplied to us in Christ. And these spiritual blessings are only available in the church. And we recognize in order to be a part of that church, we must be born again. Going into, Philippians, the fourth chapter, we recognize this concept of these spiritual blessings. Philippians, the fourth chapter, Paul at the end of this chapter is talking to those Philippians about his confidence in Christ, that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And what he's talking about, that there is those spiritual things that he is able to be content through Christ who strengthens him. He's learned how to be abased and abound in all things and everything, and he is able to do these things because Christ strengthens him. And we notice that the Philippians have shared with him, and he is ecstatic about this. And he says in verse 17 the reason why he's so happy. He says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." These are spiritual blessings we receive when we obey God, when we do a good thing, when we seek to please him in everything and in all things. And notice in verse 19, with the context being spiritual things, he said, "And my God shall apply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus." These are things we receive when we are obedient to him. And we recognize in James, the first chapter, that he is the one who gives to all people everything. All good gifts and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, and there is no shadow or variation of turning. We recognize he is that good God that we discussed in the Bible class this morning, and he will supply our need. And there's no waiting period. There's no line to wait in. We just have to come to him in order to receive these things. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we see the nature of what God expects of us in his worship to him and the praise to him. And this is something that we go throughout our everyday lives, and we take it for granted from time to time that we wait in line to worship God. Sunday morning's not here yet, so there's no way I can worship him if I'm not in the worship assembly. And we recognize some aspects of worship are only included in the worship assembly. Taking of the Lord's Supper is given by example to be done amongst the brethren in the assembly. You cannot do it outside of the assembly. The contribution of the saints on the first day of the week is in the assembly. And we recognize the need for that, but we also recognize other aspects of worship, prayer, singing, and praise to him and proclaiming his message. These things are available to us any time in our lives. In verse 15 of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, he said, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Continually is one that does not exclude any time. We should be praising God every single day of our lives, not just on the first day of the week, not just on the midweek Bible study and worship that we have on a Wednesday night, not just when we have a gospel meeting. And these things are not things we should wait for. We should come to him with our gifts that he has given us and this ability that we have to praise him at any time in our lives. And we always have these abilities with us. In Acts, the 16th chapter, we see this illustrated in this account of the Apostle Paul being in prison. And you might think that he doesn't have the ability to praise or worship God. He has to wait until a time or opportunity presents itself to him. But we notice in verse 16 that it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed spirit of divination met us, who brought our masters with much profit and fortune telling. We recognize Paul was able, I read the wrong verse, in verse 25, that at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Even in bondage and shackles, we recognize the ability the Apostle Paul had to praise God. He was able to pray to him, and he was able to sing songs of praise to him. There was no barrier between him and God at that time. There was no line he had to wait in order to praise God. And we recognize the benefit that brings as those individuals hearing him sing obeyed the gospel later on with the Philippian jailer. In James, the fifth chapter, James chapter 5, in verse 13, we read of a time to pray and a time to sing. And these two things are opposite. That when you are in good times or when you are in bad times, if you are suffering or you are cheerful, it doesn't matter what you're going through. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time to pray and worship God and song and these things. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So we recognize there's no line to wait in for us to worship God. There's no line to wait in for us to praise Him. In fact, He expects us to do it, as we talked about in Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 15, continually. Every single day we must come to Him with praise and worship. It is something that is incumbent upon a Christian in a life lived for God. And lastly, we need to always learn about Him and study His Word. And that's certainly something that we can do continuously. The Bible is perhaps the most abundantly supplied book in the history of our culture and of our world and humanity. And on the internet, there are various translations. There's a website that I like to use every once in a while called BibleGateway.com. And what it has is hundreds and hundreds of translations and hundreds of languages available right at your fingertips. You type in the passage you want, it's going to show up. A lot of us here today have smartphones, and our Bibles are on our smartphones, and we have it at our fingertips every second of the day. And yet, a lot of times, we only read it when we come together on the first day of the week. We only read it when there's a scripture reading in the assembly. We only read it at Bible class on a Wednesday night. Why are we waiting in line to do this at these appointed times for the assembly when we can be reading it every single day? This book of life that provides us these things that are necessary to attain salvation. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We recognize with that passage that in order for us to present ourselves approved to God, in order to be before God as a servant that is faithful, that is acceptable, and that is receiving these things that is promised him, we must be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Here is the gospel that is presented to us. The mind of Christ, as we see in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, that allows us to know the things that we need to do to please him. Colossians, the third chapter in verse 17, says that all that we do should be in the name of the Lord. How do we know what is in the name of the Lord? We rightly divide the word of truth. And a comment upon that is study of that truth. We have to know it like the back of our hand. We have to know it like we know the novel we read more abundantly than that. In the first epistle to Timothy, in the fourth chapter, Paul writes to young Timothy and tells him, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. As an individual who was a minister of the gospel, Timothy had a responsibility to give himself over entirely to these things. He must learn of these things. He must study these things. And it's always at his fingertips. Notice in verse 15, Paul says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. We must give ourselves entirely to this study, this and entire lives to the devotion of knowing God's word and rightly dividing it. And only then can we be approved to God. And this is something that we don't have to wait in line for. He's given it to us and revealed us his message. And we have what those Christians in the first century didn't have. The entire printed out stitched together pages of God's inspired holy word. And we take that for granted every single day when we don't read it. We must understand it's there for us and we have to take action. But there are things that we don't have to wait for, that people continue to wait for, and we recognize the need not to wait anymore. If you are a Christian or not a Christian, there's no need to wait to become a Christian. You are here this morning, you have the opportune time. Now is the time, and not any other time after this. We don't know what is promised for us in the future. We don't know if we have tomorrow. What we know is we have right now. In Acts the 16th chapter, going back to that context of the Philippian jailer, we recognize him hearing the gospel in Acts the 16th chapter, and in verse 33, what they did. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. I had a discussion with an individual I graduated with at one time who is a member of a denomination, does not believe in baptism for salvation, that you say the sinner's prayer and you're saved. And we were discussing this and he said, what if I teach someone the gospel in Walmart and they want to be baptized? Where are we going to baptize them? Am I going to baptize them in the water fountain? And so what he was saying is that there's a need to wait to be baptized, and that isn't logical in the scheme of redemption. But what he didn't mention is the river right behind the Walmart. What he didn't mention is the many friends that have swimming pools he could have called. And there's an instantaneous reaction to the gospel in which you can become a Christian. Ananias told Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There's no need to wait. There's no line to wait in. People can be baptized as soon as they want to be. Especially with this world covered in water, there is no excuse to wait. In Acts the second chapter, we recognize that after being obedient to the gospel, there's no waiting point in salvation. It's instantaneous at the obedience to the gospel in baptism. In Acts the second chapter, in verse 37, these individuals, the Jews that were preached to, the first gospel sermon by the apostle Peter, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is those spiritual blessings, the salvation in Christ, immediately upon your obedience to the gospel and baptism. In the 41st verse, he says that those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. When they were baptized. In the 47th verse, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. If you obey God and put him on in baptism, you receive instantaneously those spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1. You receive instantaneously the remission of sins, and he forgets about those things and washes them away, and you are a new creature in Christ. You don't have to wait, and there's no reason to wait. But at the last day when the judgment comes, there's not going to be a line to wait in judgment either. And that is a popular thing to think, that we are going to give account to God. So what does that mean? Well, we must prepare a case to plead before him. And I hope I'm at the back of the line so I have more time to think about what I'm going to say to my Maker. That's not what's described in Scripture. Giving account to God simply means that whatever we've done in the flesh, good or bad, is already judged, and we are going to get what he told us we are going to get. Eternal life or eternal damnation. In John the 5th chapter, in verse 28, Jesus tells these individuals, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. When this life is over, you know where you're going. In Luke, the 16th chapter, the rich man and Lazarus, when they died, rich man went to torments, Lazarus went to paradise. And those were decided. There was no crossing over from here to there. There was no going and telling your relatives and warning them, this is what's waiting for you if you continue sinning. It was instantaneous. They knew their fate. They knew the end of all things, where they were going to spend eternity. And when that judgment comes, when the resurrection comes, there's no waiting in line. There's no pleading a case. What's done is done, and there is no more hope for you. The hope is now. And so you don't have to wait in line to receive these spiritual blessings. If you are here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, do not delay another second. Come to Him in full faith and recognize your depraved nature as you are in your sins, and recognize He is the one that can heal you of those things. If you have obeyed the gospel and you've been waiting in line for all these things that are at your fingertips, stop waiting. If you have any spiritual need that we can assist you with, any comfort that we can give you, we are here to help as we stand and sing this song of invitation.